Are we ready?
1 second.
I've just got it. Where to go?
We're ready?
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay. Good morning at 11:03 in Schenectady, New York. The May meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. I'm Chairman John Sabini, joined as always by my colleagues on the board, Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. Before we call the meeting to order, I just wanted to address one topic. In about a week and a half, New York will play host to one of the most highly anticipated sporting events in the world, the 144th Belmont Stakes, that will take place at beautiful Belmont Park, which straddles Nassau and Queens County. And doing so with a triple crown possibility. I, along with my counterparts here, and hopefully 100,000 or more at Belmont Park, and hopefully working toilets, and millions of racing fans from around the world will be watching with excitement to see if we have the first triple crown winner in more than three decades. The Belmont Stakes is the crown jewel of New York's storied racing legacy and culture, and to that end, we have implemented as a board an aggressive protocol to ensure that the 144th Belmont Stakes is run with the utmost safety for the equine athletes and jockeys and the utmost integrity for the betting public, and have worked, we've outlined a series of steps including beefed up security and drug testing protocols for the horses. We're also ensuring that horses are properly monitored and that only qualified licensed personnel have access to them. As a matter of fact, we've directed the New York Racing Association set aside a barn and stable area as a stakes barn dedicated solely for horses running in the big race. There will be strictly monitored access to this barn where all horses running in the Belmont Stakes will be stabled starting June 6th. The board has also outlined a series of steps that will be carried out by personnel from the Racing and Wagering Board, NYRA, and the Thoroughbred Racing Protective Bureau. A full list of those steps and protocols will be released to the public after this meeting. So I wanted to address that now, and hopefully we will have an interesting and exciting race come a week from Saturday. I will now ask for Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to call a meeting order, and then we'll ask for public comment.
Call meeting to order at 11:06 a.m.
Is there any public comment from the throngs of attendees? Hearing none, I will ask the agenda be called.
Just so you know, Jackson Leeds, of course, has submitted comments that I will attach to the minutes of the meeting.
Mr. Leeds has a posting online that ignores the fact that the Palm Sunday ban is in statute, not a board rule.
First item, we have to approve the minutes of the meeting held on April 30, 2012.
You have members have copies of the minutes of the last board meeting. Questions, comments, revisions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes of April 30th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. Next item.
Items previously approved or referred by the chair, there were 75 this month. Items previously approved, denied, or referred by the board, there were 5 this month. And items approved today, first item is Monticello Raceway 2012 Cross and Center Test License Applications.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Monticello Raceway has submitted its track and simulcast license application for 2012. The applications have been reviewed by staff and being presented to the board this month for consideration. Monticello Raceway has applied for 207 racing programs for the 2012 racing season. As you know, there are two sections of law that require a minimum number of race dates for each track in New York State to run. The Monticello race days requested for 2012 exceed the minimum requirements of Section 318 related to them being able to receive lower parimutuel tax rates. However, the Section 307 of the racing law requires that Monticello conduct a minimum of 213 racing programs. As you know, Section 307 also provides the board to grant a license with fewer race days if there are less horses available for competition than in the base year, and there is a Horsemen's Association agreement or contract with the track. Monticello does have a written agreement with its representative horsemen's organization for this year. The agreement runs, is effective until August 31, 2012, and does provide that the horsemen have approved for 207 racing programs for the 2012 season. Included, as a point of reference, Monticello raced 206 days in 2011, 210 days in 2010, and 208 days in 2009. Therefore, the number of days applied, obviously, is fairly consistent with past applications. Included with the documentation for the track license application, there was the information indicating compliance with CAFO requirements. Assistant Counsel Bill Sokelic has reviewed this information and noted no material issues with that requirement. Included with the application also is the SAS SAS 70 report requirement from Monticello's tote vendor. That report is being reviewed by staff, and a separate memo will be issued regarding that. Also included with the application is the Monticello's Totalizator Security Plan. That is required to be approved by the board annually. Staff has reviewed that plan and found it to be substantially in compliance with the rule. As I'm sure you know and recall, staff has been recommending in previous board meetings that the board defer Monticello's 2012 track license application due to outstanding shareholder issues. There are two issues relating to certain shareholder or shareholder groups of Empire Resorts Incorporated, or ERI, which is the parent company of Monticello Raceway. These two items are still currently outstanding. One is relating to the Bryanston Group, or Stanley Tolman. According to ERA, this group collectively owns approximately 100% of ERI's Series E preferred stock, which has approximately 1.4% voting interest in ERI. Bryanston Group is reportedly controlled by Stanley Tolman. Stanley Tolman's history has been well documented with the board and publicly. The board has required ERI to provide a divestiture plan for the Bryanston shares. To date, ERI has not developed a plan as they continue to negotiate a buyout with Bryanston. ERI does have an agreement in place to purchase the Bryanston outstanding stock, but ERI continues to assert it doesn't have the financial means to do so. So this issue is continuing to be addressed through negotiation. The other shareholder issue is related to Garland Business Corp. Garland Business Corp. owns common stock representing approximately 2.7% voting interest. Board staff notes that we have no record of receiving disclosure, the required disclosure and affidavit information from this group. The company is reportedly a Panamanian corporation, and ERI is in the process of reaching out to them to obtain the required information. We have staff has been meeting with Monticello Raceway representatives regarding these issues and continue to work through it. On April 23rd, 2012 of this year, Monticello Raceway requested the board approve the license based on the provisions of Section 307.5B, which allows the board to grant license to entities that may have unsuitable shareholders, provided the interest of the shareholder is insufficient to adversely affect parimutuel harness racing. Monticello has stated that the Bryanston and Garland shares are insufficient to affect operations in light of the low amount of percentages owned, and particularly in light of the majority shareholder that is in control of ERI that owns over 60% of the voting shares. ERI has also asserted that neither Bryanston nor Garland have attempted to vote the stock in the previous 2 years. Monticello has also submitted additional supplemental licensing information has been requested by Chairman Sabini and the Director of Lottery in relation to their 2012 license application. Staff has reviewed that information and deemed it to be substantially in compliance with the request. In light of Monticello's recent request for a license under Section 307.5B regarding minority shareholder interests, staff recommends the board approve the 2012 track and simulcast licenses conditioned on the standard conditions that the track has issued, or excuse me, that the board issues to tracks for all track licenses, And in addition, that Monticello Raceway and ERI continue to cooperate with staff in resolving the outstanding issues relating to Brian Sintolman and the Garland Business Corp shares, and that the board's approval based in part on the representation sent forth on Monticello Raceway's April 23, 2012 letter. Should any of the facts or circumstances change, Monticello Raceway should be required to immediately notify the board.
Questions or comments on the Monticello track and simulcast license application? Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Cacciabola, so we'll continue to seek this information, but you're in agreement with the assessment that they haven't been building that.
Yeah, there seems to be a provision in the law that does allow for that, and staff's of the opinion that reviewed it that, you know, it is indeed a very small minority interest that doesn't have an impact on the operations of.
We've run into similar situations at other tracks before, I seem to recall, too, right?
We have none, however, really like this one, where it's been taking a long time to try to address it, and in large part, I think, because of the money that's involved here and the difficulty in getting these individuals who are not in country. So it's been a little more difficult to try to clear this up.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Diamond.
One quick question. So yeah. Our board is still waiting for the disclosure and affidavit information required by Section 303 of the racing law.
Correct.
Where's the follow-up, and what's the time frame? When do we expect, or do we expect?
Well, we have, there is no time frame per se that's been placed on this. There's been a difficulty in, you know, one with the Garland Group because it's a Panamanian corporation. The principal involved with that particular corporation, I believe, is a Swiss resident. It's a little difficult to get a hold of the individuals to get the information. With that said, we've had some level of cooperation. It's just a matter of obtaining documentation to try to clarify it and have the proper disclosures actually filed with us. We're hopeful that that will able to be done, but there seems to be some time and delay in getting through it.
Okay.
But the Tolman issue has been around for quite a while, and that one, I think the difficulty there is the dollar amounts involved and the issue at hand.
Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Cashwell, a follow-up question. What would happen in the unlikely circumstance that one of these minority shareholders did, in fact, try to exercise their right to vote? What would we do at that point?
Well, we would Monticello would have to notify us at that time, and then I think at that time we would make a recommendation on what we can do. I mean, the board ultimately does have the authority to order divestiture of these shareholders if it deems fit to do so. That would trigger proceeding to compel Monticello to force them to sell their interest.
This is like the old Tioga situation? Or
Vernon. This happened. We actually did this at Vernon in the past and required divestiture. So there is a provision that is in place right now that can be done and can be handled should that happen or should that occur.
Thank you.
Ready to move this sucker?
I'm ready to move it.
Okay. All those in favor of the Monticello Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application, signify by saying aye.
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 See, moved it too.
Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional to be New Easy Bet, Danny's Restaurant, Buffalo.
Mr. Cacciabola.
Thank you, Chairman. Western Off Track Betting Corp. is requesting approval to amend its plan of operation to include this Easy Bet facility. It is located in Chautauqua, New York, in Erie County. A limited suitability review was performed by staff on the
Cheektowaga
is in Erie County. It's right outside of Buffalo. When you get off 90 and get on 33 to go into Buffalo, that's Cheektowaga.
We'll have to go to Danny's.
Yeah. Now, if you were to stay on 90, you would get in. You wanted to get back to Buffalo, you would end up on the Skagit Expressway. When it comes around, there's a whole loop.
Thank you for this Western New York tour, Mr. Hogan.
You're welcome. I need to keep refreshing my mind when I go home.
Happy
I can't pronounce the name. So
Happy Dingus Day. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Cacciabola.
Story about that. staff has performed a limited suitability review of not only the applicant, which is the corporation, of Danny's Restaurant, but also of each of the principals involved. No derogatory information was noted by staff in these reviews. The details of the of staff's review is included in the memo before the board. We did include a search with the Division of Lottery and the State Liquor Authority and found no disqualifying information there, as well as a public record search and other criminal history checks. There is a letter from Buffalo Raceway giving permission to Western OTB to open an easy bet at Danny's, as it is within the range close to the track requiring such approval. Per the agreement that Western OTB has submitted with this, Western OTB will provide deposit slips, so excess cash may be deposited directly into an OTB account by Danny's Restaurant. Danny's Restaurant will be required to make such deposit at the applicant's bank when the balance reaches $2,000. This has been the standard practice for Western OTB with other easy bet applications. The term of the agreement will be for 1 year and is to be renewed annually at Western OTB's option. Should the board approve the request, staff recommends approval include the following standard conditions: that wagering and simulcasting at this facility be conducted in accordance with the terms of the operating agreement presented to the board, as well as all applicable statutes and board rules, and that all wagering will be conducted through self-service terminals only, and that the board's approval to operate an easy bet facility at this location shall expire and be of no force and effect in the event of any change in ownership or operation without the prior written approval of the board. And lastly, it's expected Western Regional OTB will arrange for the occasional inspection of this facility to ensure compliance with the plan of operation and relevant laws and board rules, and certify to the board on a periodic ongoing basis that the conduct of wagering at this facility is in compliance with the foregoing. With that, staff recommends approval.
Questions or comments on the application, Mr. Hogan?
Comment, well, semi-question, Mr. Casarola. I guess I would be correct in assuming this is another of the Western applications have been really good. I've seen in the last bunch of while. Also, their movement towards more easy bet and less bricks and mortars also.
Yeah, Western OTB probably in the last year and a half, 2 years, have noticeably submitted a lot more easy bet applications, and they have generally been in good form.
I've noticed.
And we've been able to process them relatively without incident. So
I think
it's
we should commend them for
yes.
that.
Yes, I was going to suggest Amen. That as well, that Mr. Kane's leadership is to be commended for clean and multiple applications.
I would offer echo the same sentiments and offer kudos and accolades to Western OTB. It seems like they're very ambitious with their easy bet applications, and I think it signifies progress, and it seems to be the way to go. So all applause to Western OTB.
Yes. Other questions or comments on the application? Hearing none, we will then move. The Western Regional OTB easy bet application for Danny's Restaurant, Cheektowaga, Erie County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB Batavia Downs replacement of roof signage as part of the relocation of video gaming activities to the first floor.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you, Chairman. Western OTB, doing business as Batavia Downs, is requesting board approval for the replacement of the historic roof signage of the Batavia Downs facility. The work will consist of replacing the existing neon sign with an energy-saving LED unit that will fit the exact footprint of the current Batavia Downs sign. According to their letter, the new sign will be brighter than the existing sign and is hoped to add the visibility of those traveling nearby, as well as reduce energy and maintenance costs for the corporation. This is part of the overall capital project to move the VLT facility at Batavia Downs from the second floor to the first floor area and renovation of the facility. As noted, the board has previously issued one approval for one permit related to this project. Construction and installation of the sign is expected to take place in the early fall of 2012, so later this year, and is not anticipated to interfere with any live racing, as that construction will occur when there is no live racing being conducted. You will note attached to this request is a copy of the building permit from the town of Batavia. As a result of the information presented and reviewed by staff is recommending approval of the work described in the letter and as described in the Town of Batavia building permit in accordance with Section 322 of the Racing Law. Staff also recommends that Western OTB be reminded that they will need to submit a request to the board for any work detailed any future permits issued by the Town of Batavia, along with a copy of the Town of Batavia building permit related to the overall VLT and renovation project that they are currently undergoing.
Questions or comments on the Batavia Downs signage renovation? That sign is an iconic symbol in Western New York, and I trust that their submission that it will be very similar to the original and more visible will be held true, because in New York City, someone would have landmarked that thing. So, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. All those in favor of the Western Regional OTB Batavia Downs replacement of roof signage as part of the relocation of the video gaming facilities to the first floor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item's approved. Next item.
Suffolk Regional OTB request to appoint new president Philip C. Miller.
Mr. Cashier-Grawl.
Thank you, Chairman. Suffolk OTB has submitted a request to the board for approval of the appointment of Mr. Philip C. Nolan to the position of president of the corporation to become effective July 1, 2012. The current president, Jeffrey Casale, is anticipated retirement. is anticipated to retire effective June 30th of this year. Mr. Nolan was appointed to this position pending board approval on April 26th of 2012 by the Suffolk OTB board. A copy of the resolution is attached to the item that is before the board. However, it's been Suffolk's practice that the resolution won't be signed until the next board meeting, which has not yet occurred.
Yes.
It has occurred. Excuse me. It's the date of my the date of my memo was before we got the signed resolution. So that the signed resolution has been since obtained. With that, staff has obtained this limited suitability review and have found no derogatory information. Recommending approval of the request.
Let me just wish Jeffrey Casale well in his retirement. He's been under enormous pressure on both a business level and a personal level in recent months, and we wish him well. Questions or comments on the Nolan appointment? Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Cashier-Grawl. As we've done with other OTB board members, has there been, have we had one of staff counsel sit down and speak to him in terms of fiduciary responsibilities as a member of the board?
It's been the practice that the one of the assistant counsels sit down with the board member, but not with the president of the corporation, okay. So we haven't done that with the president. We can do that if the board so desires.
Right. I mean, the difference was the board members are, you know, not on site and not responsible for day-to-day activities, but the actual president of the company is there day-to-day. The reason we did it for board members was to make sure that they hold the feet to the fire of the people who are actually running the company.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Suffolk Regional OTB request to appoint new president Philip C. Nolan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Congratulations to Mr. Nolan. Look forward to working with you. Next item.
Saratoga Harness, 9 horse fields.
And this would be Mr. Forstein.
Yes, indeed. By letter dated May 10th of this year, Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated, which is the licensed operator of Saratoga Casino and Raceway, requested board approval to reinstate, if you will, 9 horse fields for the 2012 racing season. The board had approved the use of 9 horse fields in 2010, and they were conducted for a limited period of time until the Horsemen's Association withdrew their permission to do so, which was consistent with an agreement between the track and the horsemen in 2010. An amendment, a relatively recent amendment or letter of agreement between the track and the Horsemen's Association provides, if you will, permission or an agreement between the two parties to reinstitute 9 horse fields in certain races. Basically, the conditions would be that nine horse fields will not be used in non-winners of one or two races for both paces and trotters. The number nine horse may start behind the first, second, or third post position in the discretion of the horse's driver at the start of the race. Provisional drivers will not be allowed to compete in races with nine horse fields. There'll be a certain economic incentive in by virtue of a 7% increase in purses, whether or nine horse fields competing. And the sixth place finisher in those races will receive a supplement equal to 3% of the total purse. And nine horse fields will be limited to no more than three races per program, with the exception of programs that include a multi-leg carryover with a guaranteed pool. In such situations, they will be allowed in each leg, provided the multi-leg carryover wager occurs no more than once per week. The main difference between the 2010 conditions that are sought by the track and horsemen and the 2012 are that there was no use of also eligible draws in 2010, but that that is a part of this that's before the board. Board Rule 4112.1 basically limits overnight events to eight horses unless the board approves or authorizes. Otherwise, in this case, this is a request that the board approve otherwise, and in anticipation of the board's action, I have prepared a draft directive. The board used the directive in 2010 to implement this. One key provision that I would note in the directive, which basically recites the conditions other than the economic ones, which are between the parties, is that the continuing use of nine horse fields would be subject to the supervisions of the board's judges and other officials. So that if the judges and officials determine that it was unsafe or that there were other reasons of concern, that there would be a cessation to this, at least for an individual event. There was in 2010 a report required by the board with regard to the results, and there were back then a certain number of races that were actually conducted, and the report is attached in the item. Overall, the track, I believe, considered the 116 races that were conducted with nine horse fields to have been a favorable experiment. And I have inserted in the draft directive for the board's consideration a reporting requirement for the end of the 2012 season, so the board will have information to assess how this worked.
Horsemen's agreements in place. Questions, comments?
I guess I have one.
Mr. Diamond.
Mr. Firestein, is there an exit clause for the horsemen?
Not. There isn't in this agreement. Unlike 2012, where it was agreed that the horsemen basically could just unilaterally withdraw the consent for this. There is none that I see here. In fact, the term of the agreement, which this is a part of, provides for a 12-month commencing upon execution, which was on May 9th, and it'll automatically renew for 12 months except in certain events.
That's interesting. Okay.
Of course, the board's approval here will only be for the 2012 season.
Mr. Hogan.
Noticing the conditions in the agreement between the horsemen and the track, there were no similar terms last year, correct?
There was no nine horse field that I'm aware of last year. I don't believe we had a request following the cessation in 2010.
That's right, it was 2010. Okay, all right. But there was no deal to give additional money to the all right, purses and the purposes for administration and everything. I'm fine with it. Just wanted to be clear about that. You answered my other question before I even asked it. So,
any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Saratoga Harness, Nine Horse Fields. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Buffalo Raceway requests Human Player Reward Program.
Back to Mr. Castro-Grillo.
Thank you, Chairman. Buffalo Raceway is requesting to amend its currently approved Players Reward Program to now include two reward points for wagering $5,000 or more in one business day. Buffalo submitted the request on May 2nd, 2012, and as previously stated, is simply adding to its currently approved and in operation rewards program. Staff is recommending the board approval of the request.
Pretty matter of fact, questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Buffalo Raceway request to amend the player rewards program. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Pasco Region OTB Amendment of Extension of Trade Agreement.
Mr. Castro-Grillo.
Pasco Region Off-Track Betting Corporation submitted requests to the board to approve its current tote agreement with Sportech LLC, which was formerly Scientific Games Racing, which was formerly Autotote. As you know, I'm sure you recall, when the tote standards became effective on January 1, 2009, included in those standards was a requirement that a contract between a tote company and a authorized parimutuel wagering entity, in this case an OTB, not to be implemented without board approval. During review of Sportech's 2012 tote license application, board staff noted that the current agreement with Catskill OTB had not been approved by the board. Talking with Catskill OTB, Catskill OTB thought that the contract had been submitted to the board for approval. Therefore, after bringing this to light, Catskill had submitted a request, which is the current request before the board for such approval. The contract was assigned November 4th, 2009, and runs until December 31, 2014. Staff is recommending approval.
Questions or comments on the Catskill application?
Better late than never.
Better late than never. From the cavernous offices of Catskill OTB. We'll move the item then. All those in favor of the Catskill Regional OTB Amendment and Extension of Tote Agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
5-year review of rules for calendar years 1997, 2002, and 2007.
The retrospective of rules from Mr. Fires.
Yes.
Great skills.
This is the annual second step of the 5-year rule review process, which is required by State Administrative Procedure Act, Section 207. All state agencies that promulgate rules are required to review rules on a 5-year basis of adoption.
And open the review to the public, correct?
Yes. And in fact, there was a publication in the State Register of the rules which the board has before it that are relevant and were adopted by the board in 1997, 2002, and 2007. There was an explanation of the rules that was provided in the rule review at page 63 of the March 14, 2012 State Register, as well as a notice that comment would be received and accepted and reviewed in relation to these. The board received no comment with regard to the continuation or analysis of these rules, and staff recommends that the board continue these rules without modification.
Questions or comments on this escalating topic? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the 5-year review of rules for calendar years 1997, 2002, and 2007, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Is it a matter of information? Have we ever had a comment on a 5-year rule review?
I don't recall there ever being a comment on a 5-year rule review.
That's a sign of perfection and regulation.
Or disinterest.
Or disinterest, all right.
I prefer to think perfection. We know how close.
Next item.
Proposed rulemaking, racing reimbursement fee, harness racing.
For our friends in the standard bread industry, the bill has come due. Mr. Firestein.
This is a proposed rulemaking to implement Part Y of Chapter 58 of the laws of 2012, which was one of the 2012 budget components for the state. Under Chapter 58, the costs for one associate judge and the starter at each harness track are to be reimbursed by each licensed racing corporation where that individual is employed. This rule proposal is a companion to an emergency adoption of the identical text, which was approved by the board last Thursday. This provision for reimbursement became effective on May 28th, and basically the process is at the beginning of a month, the board will notify the racing corporation of the amount to be paid, and it's to be paid for that month on the last business day of the month. As a practical matter, there are procedures and a form which the audits investigation section is sending to the tracks to do this, and because of the odd period of time involving May 28th through the end of the month, that will be lumped together with June for practical and technical reasons involving the language of the statute. Basically, this is a pretty straightforward rule. It incorporates both parts of the text of this actual chapter, as well as some practical terms which were included in the start fee and other provisions.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the proposed rulemaking, racing reimbursement fee, harness racing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption, amendment of horse racing rules pursuant to Marriage Equality Act of 2011.
Mr. Firestein.
This is a rulemaking which was proposed as a consensus rulemaking, which is now before the board for adoption. Basically, there are amendments to five of the board's rules to address the need to have gender-neutral language or terms in relation to marriage, so that spouse, for example, would be an acceptable term, but a husband or wife would not be in relation to marriage, same-sex marriage, as opposed to pre-existing marriage language. So these amendments conform or are made in order to conform with the Marriage Equality Act, and not surprisingly, there were no comments received with regard to this consensus rulemaking. None were anticipated, which is why it was done by consensus, and staff recommends adoption. These will become effective upon publication in the State Register in a little less than 3 weeks.
Questions or comments from the board?
None.
Hearing none, all those in favor of the notice of adoption amendment of horse racing rules pursuant to the Marriage Equality Act of 2011, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Thanks to Assistant Counsel Mark Stewart for his work on the last three items. Next item.
In the matter of Ryan Cortello.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is the first of the two adjudicatory matters before the board today. This matter involves an appeal by jockey Ryan Cortello from the decision of the board steward at Belmont Park, which imposed a 7-day license suspension for careless riding in a race at Belmont Park last year. A hearing was scheduled and held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. Mr. Parenti has submitted the report, which the board has in front of it, together with the record, in which the hearing officer recommends that the violation and the 7-day suspension be upheld.
Questions or comments on the Cortello case? Hearing none. All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report in the matter of Ryan Cortello, signify by saying aye.
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 Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of Justin Meager.
Mr. Firestein.
This matter results from an order to show cause served upon Mr. Miga, who is a licensed harness racing owner. His license will expire in December of 2012. Mr. Meagher was required to show cause why his license should not be suspended or revoked based upon pending criminal charges and their impact upon his continued suitability for licensing. A hearing was scheduled and held before Mr. Parenti as the designated hearing officer. The licensee failed to appear, and the hearing officer has submitted the attached report, which recommends that the license involved be suspended and that it be revoked in the event of conviction of the crimes.
No show, you gotta go. Questions or comments on the Meagher or Marr, depending on the pronunciation case? Hearing none, all those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report on the matter of Justin Meagher?
Aye.
Taking vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved.
Items for board information and discussion, there are five.
Where are they just?
The Indian gaming license statistics, licensing current, licensing count, games of chance and Belger tickets, games of chance bingo registration numbers, and 2012 licensed suppliers.
I wouldn't mind seeing the, not here, the games of chance and Belger stuff.
Okay. And follow-up items previously approved, there are none for this month. And I will adjourn the meeting at 11:45.
See you at Belmont Park.
Yeehaw.
Congratulations on your being named to the Phoenix Disc.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov is right. Second, I'm going to use this.